Boulevard. Good morning to you. God is good. I said this at first service. You came in here, you saw these bags on stage, you thought Skid was preaching, didn't you? Tell the truth, shame the devil, you thought Skid was preaching. No, but it's me. We were praying for Skid and the youth group. They're doing a great work in Mexico, praying for their safety, praying for their security, and praying that they are a blessing to those that they will come into contact with. As you hit your knees this week, keep in mind those who are affected and have been affected by the devastating flooding in Texas. Many have, of course, lost their lives. But we're praying that the healing hands of God might come in through his believers, that they might surround those who have been affected and show them the hands and the feet of Jesus and be the hands and the feet of Jesus. So when you hit your knees this week, keep them in your prayers. We're also praying for something that Sean told you about. It's called Screen on the Greens, coming up at the end of July. Can't tell you the name of the movie, but it's a really super movie, and it's about some brothers, and they do some great adventures. Their last name or their names might rhyme with Barrio, but I can't say the name of the movie. But it's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's where we're going out and inviting our friends and our neighbors who surround this campus for just a good night of service. We're going to have a cookout, and we're giving away school supplies for every family in this area who might have a need. And let me thank you for your generosity in giving toward that effort. These school supplies have been ordered. They're on their way to Murfreesboro even as we speak. We ordered about $5,500 worth of school supplies. And so thank you for your generosity. Amen. Amen. We're going to bless tons and tons of people. And if you're not doing anything this Wednesday night, come and join us as we go out in the neighborhoods and as we begin a series of prayer walks and invitations every Wednesday night. We're going to be going out and inviting folks to this. But last week, Skid kicked us off on this journey, pun intended, this journey called Baggage, this new sermon series called Baggage. It's where we're looking at some of the things that we take along with us in life. We all have some baggage. Can I get an amen on that if you've come to see that in your life? We've got baggage. We've got things that we've taken along with us, some stuff we need, some stuff we don't need. Some of the baggage that we're carrying around is heavyweight, baggage that we want to learn to drop off and let go and pick up a lighter bag, a carry-on bag, something to carry with us day by day. Baggage, for the purpose of this series, we're going to define it like this, is a collection of burdens and blessings that we've picked up on life's journey. See, traditionally, we look at baggage as a negative thing, but baggage can be quite positive. There are some bags that we need to take along with us, and Jesus gives us a bag that I'm going to share with you that you're going to want to take with you everywhere you go. This baggage in the terms of burdens, it might affect us. It might affect us physically. They might affect us behaviorally, they might affect us emotionally, but there's also some great blessings, some responsibilities that we willingly take along with us as we journey through life. But baggage is not just to be seen from a physical or an emotional perspective. What I'm going to show you and what we're going to see throughout this series is that there is some spiritual baggage that we have. Some spiritual baggage that we need to drop off. Some spiritual baggage that might be crushing us right now because it's so weighty and it is so heavy. Spiritual baggage like unrepentant, unconfessed sin. Some of us are carrying that around. Spiritual baggage like unforgiveness. Some of us are carrying that baggage around. Baggage, spiritual baggage such as shaky faith. Some of you walked in with that. You're carrying it around and it's weighing you down. What I want to give you the invitation to this morning is to lay that heavy baggage down, that heavy bag down, and pick up a lighter bag, kind of like a carry-on bag, a bag that you can take with you everywhere you go. Because see, life, your life under Jesus is not meant for you to carry around the heavy weight. It's not practical. You weren't meant and you weren't designed to carry around the heavy bag. Instead, you can place the heavy bag down and pick up the lighter bag that Jesus has for all of us. See, you're going to have to travel in this spiritual life. And in this spiritual life, you're going to take some baggage along with you. So here's the question. Why not just travel lightly? Amen. It's what Jesus wanted for you. He told us about this in Matthew chapter number 11, verses 28 through 30. He said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Those of you who are carrying around the heavyweight bag of unrepentant sin. Those of you who are carrying around the heavy bag of unforgiveness. Those of you who are carrying around the heavy bag of having a shaky faith. Come to me. Roll that bag to me. And I'm going to give you rest. Now, Jesus doesn't promise us a life without a bag. He just promises us a life with a lighter one. Come to me and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke, he says, upon you. You got to take something with you. Learn from me. Here's what you're going to learn. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You're going to find rest for your souls because you're not carrying around the heavy bag. Here's what you're going to find. My yoke is easy. What I give to you is light. What I give to you, you're meant to carry on your bag as you journey through life. Jesus, church, wants to give us a lighter load to carry. Amen. And it's that lighter load that I want to teach you about today. It's that lighter load that I want to train you and equip you to carry today in a lesson that we're going to call Carry On. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to join me in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5 is where we're going to be today. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version, and we're going to study this grouping of scriptures pretty much verse by verse. And by the time we walk out of those doors, you'll have a clear understanding of God's will for your life. You're going to see He doesn't want you to be carrying around the heavy bag. You're going to see He wants you to trade that in for something much, much lighter. He's not wanting you to bear the burden. He wants you to carry the blessing. Yes. But before we put our eyes on Scripture, let's pray to God that we might handle it correctly. Pray with me, please. Lord, we're thankful for today. And we're thankful for the blessing of Jesus Christ in our lives today. We're thankful that we have your word to guide us. And we're thankful that you're going to speak to us through your word. So, Father, right now, we pray that you would speak and that our hearts are soft enough, that they're tender-hearted enough to receive what you have for us today. Father, we're thankful that we don't have to carry around this spiritual weight of burden because of sin and because of guilt and because of shame. We're thankful that Jesus has given us a lighter load. A load of love and of joy and of peace that we can carry around from day to day. Father, speak to us right now. Show us how to live this out. Show us how to embrace this. Father, we pray that your Spirit has His way with each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let us say, Amen. This book of Galatians that we're studying today, it's a letter. It's a letter written by Paul the Apostle to a group of Jesus followers in this ancient region called Galatia who are struggling with something. They're struggling with their spiritual identity. And the reason that they're struggling with their spiritual identity is because some false teachers have crept in amongst them. And these false teachers were trying to convince this church that they should carry around a heavier bag. They had tried to load these Christians up with heavy weights, a heavy weight that came with them seeking to obey the ancient law of Moses. Now, the ancient law of Moses wasn't a bad law. It wasn't a bad series of laws. But what it was a law that Jesus Christ himself had already fulfilled. And being that he fulfilled it, he took the law out of the way. He took a heavy burden out of their way. Because it was a law that tried to coax people into obeying its 613 commands, one of which included male circumcision. And these Galatians were being bewitched and convinced that they should return to something that Jesus never intended for them and for their lives. But the false teacher said, hey, guys, if you're really going to be Christians, here's your bag, and you need to carry it. So Paul writes to them, instructing them, no, guys, you got it wrong. You need to put that bag down. And the only bag you need to carry is the lighter one that Jesus has intended for you. A bag of joy, a bag of peace, a bag of love, a bag of grace, a bag of mercy. That's what Jesus had intended for your life. At the very beginning of this letter, in Galatians chapter number 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul wrote, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of God and are turning to a different gospel. Paul says, I've taught you, and you've been taught to walk a certain pathway of the Spirit, which comes with a carry-on bag. But some have tried to convince you to lay that bag down. Turn your attention toward another path that came with a heavier burden, a heavier bag. See, by the time we get to chapter number 5, Paul is going to tell them that really there is a choice that you have to make, a choice based on two paths. Are you going to choose the path of what he calls the flesh, or are you going to choose the path of the Spirit? See, and it's a choice that reverberates throughout the generations. So it's not just their choice, a choice that these Galatians would have to make. It's a choice that you have to make. And you have to make this choice day after day after day. Some of us have to make this choice moment by moment. Are you going to choose the pathway of the flesh, which I'll describe to you in a moment, or the pathway of the Spirit? But here's what you need to know about these paths. The spiritual path you choose determines and defines the spiritual bag you carry. If you choose the pathway of the flesh, the pathway that has you at the very center, it comes with a heavier bag because the journey is going to be longer. Because it's going to take longer for you to find what you're really looking for in life. And here's a secret. You'll never really find it in the first place on that path. Or you could choose the pathway of the Spirit. The pathway of the Spirit is the way that Jesus wants you to go. It's the pathway that he has paved when he died on Calvary's cross. Well, that pathway, it comes with its own carry-on bag as well. But the thing about this bag, it's lighter. It's a bag that it's a joy to carry around. It's not a burden. As a matter of fact, if you open up this bag, it's full of blessing. Which path, though, is going to be the path that you choose? If I could tell you what Jesus wants for your life, Jesus wants you to travel lightly. So let's see Jesus' path as defined by Paul the Apostle. I want you to look at verse number 16 in our text of chapter number 5, Galatians 5. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. If we were to ask Paul, hey, Paul, what pathway should I take? He says, it's clear. You choose the pathway of the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Here's what you just read. You read a commandment, walk by the Spirit, but a commandment attached to a promise, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Let's really understand what Paul the Apostle is saying. He's telling these Galatians, you can, it is possible that you would follow this pathway of the Spirit. And the reason it is possible, it's possible because of He who lives and who dwells inside of you. You can walk by the Spirit because as baptized believers, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. Let me take you to Paul's train of thought in Galatians chapter number 3, verses 1 through 3. Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. You've come to know that Jesus was crucified and that this Jesus of Nazareth, he was indeed the Christ. So let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Now, the inference here is that they have heard about Jesus. They've come to believe in Jesus by way of their faith. And as a result, they have been obedient to King Jesus and they have received the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit was dwelling within them. He says, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? In other words, here's what Paul is saying. Don't miss this. You started walking the pathway of the Spirit as defined by your faith. But somewhere along the way, you stopped walking that pathway. You turned around and started walking the pathway that you used to walk. You started walking the path of the Spirit or of the flesh instead of walking the pathway of the Spirit. But you can walk the pathway of the Spirit because you've received the Spirit. Church, let me inform you if you don't already know. If you're a baptized believer, you've received the Spirit. And being that you've received the Spirit, you can walk this pathway. It is possible. So at the beginning of this verse, he says, walk by the Spirit. It's one of the verbs, of the four verbs that Paul uses in chapter number 5 to describe this walk that we are to do by the Spirit. In verse number 16, which we just read, he says, walk by the Spirit. If we drop down to verse number 18, Paul says, I want you to be led by the Spirit. If we drop down to verse 25a, Paul says, live by the Spirit. 25b, he says, keep in step with the Spirit. So what does that look like? How am I to do that? Here's what Paul means. To walk by the Spirit is to walk under the guidance, under the direction, and the obedience of the Holy Spirit. It's you saying, God, I surrender all to you. It's you saying, God, let your will be done in my life. It's you allowing the Word of God to be this lamp unto your feet and this light unto your path. It's you putting your life in alignment with what you see in Scripture. See, Scripture is your roadmap on this journey, on this pathway of the Spirit. You follow this roadmap, you're walking in the way of the Spirit. You follow this roadmap, you're keeping in step with the Spirit. You follow this roadmap, you're walking by the Spirit. You follow this roadmap, and you are being led by the Spirit who dwells in you. I know He dwells in us because it's what Jesus promised. In John chapter 14, 16 through 17, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive. Well, why can't the world receive it? Because the world is walking a different pathway. not walking the pathway of the Spirit. The world neither sees him nor knows him. And understand how the Bible describes the Holy Spirit, how Jesus himself describes the Holy Spirit. He doesn't describe the Holy Spirit as an it. He describes the Holy Spirit as a he, as a person, because he is God's Spirit. He is the Spirit of the Godhead. But the promise by Jesus is he dwells with you and will be in you. You are not alone. Amen. And this promise came to fulfillment as Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost when he says, listen, you repent. You turn, you change your direction. And you're going to find this pathway of the Spirit. To repent is to literally turn around. I was walking the pathway of the Spirit, but now I turn around to a different pathway. And I start walking that pathway. And if I believe in Jesus Christ and I'm baptized for the forgiveness of my sins, I find that he is with me always. So what Paul is saying in verse 16, hey, you got the Holy Spirit. He's living in you. So live like the Holy Spirit is living within you. But remember, it's a command with a promise. And the promise is, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. In the original Greek language, it's you will in no way, shape, or form gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, why is that? Because of the direction that you're walking in. Well, how is it that I won't gratify the desires of the flesh if I'm walking in this direction? Because the desires of the flesh, they will be gratified when I'm walking in this direction. And it's impossible for me to walk in opposite directions at the same time. And if that is impossible, it's impossible for me to carry this heavy bag and carry this light one at the same time. It's like trying to go north and trying to go south at the same time. It is an impossibility. Paul highlights that in verse 17 and 18. It says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. I can lay that bag down. I can lay the heavy bag of the flesh down and simply travel in simplicity one way. And by me picking up the bag of Jesus, the bag of the Spirit, to take the journey of the Spirit, it requires something of me. But what it requires is lighter than this. See, it's not burdensome. John says, listen, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Here's what you need to know about the commandments. They're not burdensome. They require something of you, but they're not weighty. They require something of you, but you're not going to be crushed underneath the weight of them. Walking by the Spirit allows us to travel through this life with a carry-on. Allows us to travel lightly. But I want you to understand what is meant by the flesh. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh and this pathway of the flesh. Here's what Paul means by flesh. It's one of those biblical or kind of church words, but here's what's meant by flesh. As Paul writes, in his theology, the flesh represents the human tendency towards self-centeredness. You being at the center. It's what you want, it's what you desire, it's what gives you pleasure. That's at the very center of this fleshly path. And it's impossible, if you think about it, it's impossible to walk a spirit-centered path and a self-centered path at the same time. Church, you're going to have to travel. Why not just travel lightly? But if it's before you, which path would you take? The one with the heavy bag or the one with the light one? Paul tells you what comes with the heavy bag. He tells you what comes with traveling the pathway of the flesh. And he tells us exactly where that pathway ends. I want you to see this in verse number 19 down through verse number 21. Paul writes, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." They are visible. These works that litter the pathway of the self-centered flesh. Here's what they are. They are evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and these drunken orgies and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the behaviors, so many of them, that make the spiritual bag so heavy. And it makes the spiritual bag so heavy because the journey is so long. Paul does us a favor. He groups these works of the flesh into different categories, into about four different categories. And here's what I want you to see. I want you to see what all four of them have in common. And I'll just give you a spoiler. Here's what all four of them have in common. They have self at the center. He begins by giving us the sins of immorality. Sexual immorality, he calls it, impurity, sensuality. Here's what it is. Any sexual activity outside the bonds of marriage which makes our pleasure the aim without consideration for the holiness of God. It's when our bodies aren't used to bring God glory, and it doesn't consider the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of these temples. It disregards that and says, it's really all about me, and it's really all about my pleasure. That comes at a price. It comes as weight to your spiritual baggage. Then he moves into what are called sins of idolatry. He calls it idolatry and sorcery. Here's what they are. Works that worship or prioritize anything other than God, including my own desires, my own security, or my own self-created beliefs. It says, God, I know all these things about you. I know you should be worthy of worship. But here's what I'm saying through my life. I'm saying I really am worthy of worship. But where Paul spends the most time are on what are called sins of animosity, the enmity, the strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. Well, what are they? These are works that prioritize one's own ego, their opinion, perceived rights over the peace, the unity, and the well-being of others, especially within the community of faith. It's me saying, you know what, life is not really about you. It's not about me lifting you up. It's about you lifting me up. And if you have something that I want, I really want that, and I'll try to take that. I'm jealous of what you have because of what you have, I don't have, because life is all about me. It's so many things because those so many things help to make the bag heavy. James, the brother of Jesus, said this when it comes to these types of sins of animosity, this type of self-centered mindset that often displays itself in envy and jealousy. He says this in James 3, 14 through 16. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. You know what disorder and vile practices are? They are weights to the baggage that you have to carry. See, whenever there are fights and there are quarrels, it says something about us. We have something to do with it. It's never really one-sided. It's maybe how I perceived you saying something to me or something that I directly have said to you. James goes on to say, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. But even when you do ask God for stuff, James says, you ask and don't receive because you're asking wrongly. You ask amiss. You're asking in a way that best serves you so that you can spend it on your own passions. This is not the way of the Spirit. This is the way of the flesh. It's the way of the world. Finally, Paul ends this with sins of intemperance. This drunkenness or orgies or these drinking parties. These are works that are about lacking self-control and indulging in excesses primarily for one's own pleasure. But humanly, we think this is the direction that has what we're really looking for. It doesn't. Because Paul says it's a pathway that leads us away from the kingdom of God, away from the reign and the rule of God. Philosopher and author Dallas Willard, he wrote a lot of books about spiritual formation. And he wrote about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is this realm of God's effective rule, saying it is the realm where what God wants done is done. But if we're living and walking according to that pathway, we're walking away from what God really wants. And you're walking to burden instead of walking toward blessing. What God wants for you is blessing. Blessing that comes because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in your life. That other pathway doesn't lead to the kingdom of God. What God wants you to walk towards is some fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. Here's what Paul says in verse number 22. He says, But is an interesting word. It connotes a contrast. Contrast totally with what Paul had just said. This is the opposite direction. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. If you travel the pathway of the Spirit, this is what you get to experience. Church, isn't everyone looking for love? Don't you really want peace? Imagine if peace just reigned over your house right now. Aren't you really looking for joy? To have more joy in your life? What about patience? And what about kindness? What about gentleness? What about this faithfulness? What about this self-control? Isn't this really what we want? But we convince ourselves that we can get that walking in another direction, that we can experience that fruit walking the pathway of the flesh. Many of us are looking for that fruit, the love, the joy, and the peace, and all that great stuff on a pathway that'll never produce it. It's like you're looking for a Florida orange grove in Alaska. You're not going to find it. The conditions aren't right for those oranges to grow. But the condition is right. The conditions are right for the love, the joy, and the peace, and the gentleness, and the faithfulness, the self-control to grow on this pathway. Because that's where the Spirit is. Jesus says, just come this way. It's a lighter path. All you need is this carry on. So how do I do it? I should do it. I want to go in that direction. But what is a way in which I can do that? What's a way that I can, as verse number 24 says, crucify the flesh with its passions and desires? How can I live by the Spirit, verse 25, and keep in step with the Spirit? Well, I think Paul gives us a clue. He gives us a clue right in verse number 13 and 14 of this same chapter. Let me bring you right back there. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. You're called to walk a different path. But don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't turn around. Don't walk that way. But through love," he says, "serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." To travel lightly, to travel with the carry-on, here's what you got to do. Let love rule. Let your love for God rule and your love for others rule. Because if that type of love rules, it keeps you from being self-centered and self-focused. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 22, 35 through 40. "And one of them said, a lawyer asked him this question to test him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love him with everything that makes you you. This is the first and, or the great and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend all the law and the prophets." To travel lightly, to travel with the carry-on, love God, love others. That's the way Jesus operated in his life. We're simply following the pathway that he gave us. We're so preoccupied with that, we don't have time to try to carry around the bag of the flesh. We once and for all can lay it down, and we can travel lightly. We can travel with the carry-on. And the wonderful thing about traveling with this and traveling lightly, traveling the pathway of the Spirit, is that when we do that, all this other baggage that we have in our life, all that physical baggage that you have, all that emotional baggage that you've been walking around with your whole life because of some stuff that might have happened to you when you were younger. See, this pathway of the Spirit always gives us access to the Spirit. He's with us and he's walking with us on this pathway. All that other stuff that we come with, he'll help you carry it. In Romans 8, verses 26 through 27, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for saints according to the will of God." As we're walking a pathway that's been paved by the will of God, the Spirit understands what we take along with us physically and emotionally and behaviorally. And he'll pray for us. He'll utter words that we can't understand. He'll help bear that weight. But in order to do it, we got to travel lightly. Travel with what the Lord has given us. There's one thing I want you to remember with this lesson. It's this. As you journey, because you're going to have to journey, travel lightly. Travel with the carry-on, with what Jesus has given you. The love, the joy, the peace, all of that fruit of the Spirit. There's something to obey. It's this. Choose the pathway of the Spirit. You're going to have a choice. You're going to have a choice probably later today. Which pathway are you going to choose? Choose the pathway of the Spirit. That's the path that's going to lead you to what you want most. Simple way to apply it. Let love rule by loving God and by loving others. Why not travel this way? Why not travel lightly? The path of the flesh comes with heavy, heavy baggage. And it always leads you away from God's reign and rule. And if you're walking that way, you're walking a distant from God, separated from God, never able to find what it is you are really looking for. But Jesus came to bridge that gap. Jesus came to win you back. By carrying the heaviest burden of all, your sin upon his shoulders. And don't you continuously want help like that? See, if you're here today and you're tired of carrying around the heavy bag and you want to trade in that heavy bag for something much, much lighter, you begin walking that pathway by believing in Jesus, by believing he is indeed the Son of God, confessing your sins to him, deciding in your mind you're going to walk this pathway, pleading to him for his forgiveness, being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell in your life. That's how to set it down and how to pick up something much lighter. You can have that opportunity today. I want to extend this invitation to you as we prepare to close out this service and this sermon. I'm going to be standing right here, I believe, along with the Shipleys. And if you're ready to put down that heavy bag, you're tired of dragging it around, and you want something much, much lighter that comes from Jesus, you want that love, the joy, and the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit dwelling in your life, we'll be standing right here. We'll be here during the singing, after the singing. If you're ready to trade it in, we'll be right here to help you with the next steps. You want to turn some stuff over to the Lord in prayer? Our shepherds are going to be right over here to my left. And you can come to them, and you can pray with them. They will find great delight in praying over you. So here's your choice, church. You don't have to continue to carry this thing around. Let's put it down, and let's carry what Jesus has intended for us, something much lighter, something that you can carry on with you as you journey through life from day to day. Let's stand, and let's sing this song.